Last week's sermon was dedicated to Bill, and so you will have to go online, Bill, and listen to that sermon. But I made you a promise several years ago that I would speak on those matters, and so I used the 4th of July holiday to do that, and you went on vacation. So anyway, instead of putting these guys back through the paces and redoing it when you came back, we'll just let you listen to it online, but make sure you go home and listen to it. It was dedicated to our friendship and our time together, especially in Sunday school. So anyway, please do that. Many of you may know where geographically the Cape of Good Hope is, but many of you may not. The Cape of Good Hope is located on the Atlantic coast off the Cape Peninsula in South Africa, just west of the continental shelf of Africa. Don't mistake the Cape of Good Hope as the southernmost tip of the African continent, because it is. But most people believe that it is the very tip. It is not. The Cape of Good Hope is just about 90 miles north of the tip of Africa. At the tip of the African continent, the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean collide. They meet together, in force, actually. The significance of this point is that one ocean current is cold and the other ocean current is warm. And when those ocean currents collide into each other, the ocean actually turns back on itself, causing immense surf and water disturbance at the tip of Africa. In the beginning, when ocean-going ships were dependent upon wind and current, this was a very dangerous point in their voyage east. In fact, it was so dangerous it was hard for them to cross. And on their journey south to get to the tip of Africa, they were steering south at all times. But once the sailors could finally navigate their way around or to the tip of Africa, they would generally be in sight of the Cape of Good Hope, just before the tip of Africa, just before they crossed those terrible currents and bad surf. This was significant at the Cape because the ships began to travel more easterly than they did southerly. You see, they were dependent upon the current to cross the tip or pass the tip of Africa, not like modern ships today. And at the Cape of Good Hope, their ships actually turned and started heading easterly. And that was the course that they sought when they began to navigate their course eastward for trade. You see, that's why it got its name, because automatically their ships started heading in the course correct, or made a course correction and started heading in the direction that they desired. It was their expectation at the time they navigated around the tip of Africa to go east, and thus the Cape of Good Hope brought them just that. It met their expectations and turned them easterly in their journey. The point I'm trying to make through this geographical story this morning is hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for certain things to happen. And at the Cape of Good Hope, the sailors witnessed that firsthand. This morning we read in Scripture that hope is never lost, that there is hope in the world, even in today's world, because God Himself is the God of hope. As Christians, we profess our faith in God and His holy word. We also claim that we speak to God and listen for His divine providence. It is this where we find our faith. Now, if this statement is accurate and it is true, then as true and real Christians, We also believe that the edge of a cliff and the beginning of a miracle start at the very same point. In layman's terms, life may have cliffs and mountains, but our hope is sufficient for us to repel the cliffs and scale and climb the mountains because of the hope we know that exists in Jesus Christ. You see, hope prevails. True hope prevails over adversity. On the edge of the life cliff, our hope will prevail. As we Christians should stand and declare every day in the hope we have in Christ Jesus, my concern this morning is we don't. We don't profess that hope that we have in Jesus because we get marred down in our surrounding cultures. Many people believe Christians stand at the shore of a historical calamity. Now, I watched a program this week that basically said those words, not in those words. That's not a quote from this show or story or documentary. But it basically said that what Christians believe is false. That we stand on the shore of a historical calamity. And it was talking about America. So I go to say, to recapture what I watched, what they were saying was that calamity would occur here in America. And where they went with this story, I didn't necessarily go with this morning in this message. But I went a different direction. They set my course on a different direction. And that's why I brought you this message this morning out of last week's message. You see, in our lives, in our culture, wave after wave of destructive and disruptive things continue to happen in our lives. All you have to do is wake up and turn on the television, open the paper, or check out your personal cell phone feeds, and you will see what I'm talking about. Friends, the news alone is enough to devastate you. Think about it. Modern news today arrives at the speed of light through all of our media sources, and there are many today, more than there were 20 years ago or 30 years ago. You know, there are many media sources that people pay more attention to than the actual media of the news, such as Instagram, text messages, emails, news feeds, Facebook, Twitter, and many alike. Many people believe that the things they get on their media sources are fact, are true. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not fact, nor is it true. In most cases, before our sun sets on any given day, the news we receive tends to leave a path of destruction in its wake that demolishes hope, even in the hearts and minds of us who try to be the servants of Christ and the faithful to God. But for some reason, and I'm guilty of it too, but for some reason, we are clinging to those outlets so that we can have just a small touch of what is going on in the world. The problem is that our umbilical to the world is like water troughs full of stagnant and infectious water. So many people are addicted to consuming this information that it infects them with the negativity of the world. Go into any restaurant or social gathering and watch the infection grow. Walk into our school hallways and watch our children communicate. instant gratification and being in the know have come between a simple conversation of friends. It's come between family meals. It's come between social celebrations and moments of time that I recall as a child where we simply sat on the porch over a glass of cool lemonade and spoke about today's events, surrounded by the blessings of the mountains and the sky and the flowers and the grass and all of God's creatures. You see, when we're so engaged in our media outlet and we're so engaged in our technology, the world revolves around us and we miss the whole thing. We cling to these outlets. We cling to these outlets so that we can be in touch with the world because we feel that the world will pass us by without us knowing. There's an old statement that says, "You become what you consume." Heed this statement, friends, as a warning, because it's true. We can find bad news anywhere. In fact, it sells better than good news. Think about it. When something terrible happens, how many days are we subjugated by consuming what the media shares with us on the coverage of that bad news? This consumption is depressing and demoralizing. Thousands are dying nationwide from depressional issues. Every day a drug overdose occurs. Every day a suicide takes place. We see senseless violence happening all around us, and it seems more prevalent today than it did yesterday. These things occur because we have lost our true focus. We have been consumed by culture and not by faith. Our culture is broken and battered by bad choices and a failure to simply find hope. In America, there is a well-known quote that says, "America is the land of opportunity." Well, I'm here to tell you, America is the land of immense opportunity. So tell me why we are continuously struggling to seek God's blessing through this opportunity we have right here in front of us this morning. Almost inevitably, we blindly follow social acceptance. We calmly and quietly navigate our way through culture, and we quietly worship as not to offend someone. This path has almost led us to our own spiritual detriment. Today in America, children are being told to question their own gender. Why? God made you who you are. God doesn't make mistakes. This craziness has to stop. There is a big push to be politically correct. What does that even mean? Someone define that statement for me. I have used the term before myself, and after studying it for this message, I can't really tell you what it means. I can't tell you anything about it. I can tell you what it infers, but what is its basis? Where and from what does it get its foundation? Or is it just simply a popular statement? Culturally correct would be a more prudent term. But politically correct? Culturally correct means, what it means is simply this, that in our culture, we become chameleons. We just blend into the world and let the world go right over top of us, and we never say a word because we're culturally correct. Or perhaps you like the term politically correct. Well, I don't like either one of them. And as a Christian man believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ and commanded to share it with you this morning as well as with the world, I want to change your perspective. How about biblically correct? Let's use that term. Now that, friends, has a meaning. As Christians, Christ calls us to be biblically correct in both our words, our deeds, and our actions. You see, friends, we can disagree with each other spiritually and even morally and not hate one another because our lives have foundation in the Word of God. Biblical correctness is how we should be. Biblical correctness is how we should act and speak and talk to one another. Another question for you this morning is, where has hope gone? Take a good look into our schools and our towns and our cities across America. Can you see the hope as clearly as you once did? Have you lost the hope that once resounded in our schools when our children called out to God in prayer? As I told you last week, unfortunately, I'm afraid those days are gone. Are the parking lots of our churches full this Sunday morning, or do they have vacancies? If our pews are any indication, our parking lots have spaces to pull into. However, let me be clear. Although you may feel what I just stated in its entirety, hope for me and you is not far away. However, it seems to be hidden in plain sight behind our church walls and silently confined within the souls of Jesus' followers. The Bible and God's Word have been silenced by fear and intimidation of the believer. You have been instructed and ordered to be politically correct. However, I am telling you this morning that you have been called to be biblically correct. Our silence and our lack of action is detrimental to the world we live in. And friends, we can see it as it changes every single day. We need to stop worrying about what our culture thinks of us and start worrying about what God thinks about us. Friends, you are called to be biblically correct. Rise up and share this message of hope and the transforming love of God through Jesus Christ, because the world we live in so desperately needs us today. Be the hope that God calls you to be. As followers of Jesus Christ, do not let hope found in Him be shrouded by today's informational channels, who stand as the apparent gatekeepers of what they want you to believe is the truth. These false prophets are the sellers of no hope. They club the truth to death, hoping we will be mesmerized by their words and deeds and actions, especially the effects that they try to shroud upon us that blind us to the message they push. You see, if they say it long enough, they believe that we will believe it. It's time to throw off hopelessness, much like we shed a winter coat on a hot summer morning. It's time to dream again. It's time to overflow with hope and joy and peace as you trust in God, who has granted us hope through His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, it's time to be the hope. It's time to stand up and share the hope. It's time to be the church that moves and shakes the community where the foundation sets today. It's time that we live in Jesus Christ and share the hope that He's granted to each and every one of us. Jesus' life was and is as beautiful. It's in a beautiful portrait of what God calls a God-centered kingdom. That's what you put your hope in. You see, this life is available to all of us who give ourselves and our hearts and follow Jesus. Remember, in the gospel we learned that a great spiritual awakening started for the disciples when they followed Jesus Christ. The same thing will happen to us when we too follow Jesus Christ, when we too become biblically correct. Listen, I don't want to just talk about Jesus. I want to live with Jesus on earth. I want to experience my life in Jesus on earth. I want you to experience the same thing. You see, happiness comes in a life with Jesus Christ. That's where hope is. You have to get up off your sofas and start living and breathing the Word of God. Here is the cold, hard truth this morning. You and I know that we really go after the things that we desire and we want in life. If we truly do that, and we do it all the time, we succeed. We get what we want. Sometimes it's a hardship, but we get what we want. If you want something, you charge ahead. You change your focus and your priorities, and you go get what you want. It generally comes through hard work and dedication, but you get what you want. Period. It happens. So if you want hope that comes through knowing Jesus Christ, and you want to have this beautiful God-centered kingdom that comes in a relationship with Him and the Holy Spirit, you got to work for it. You got to desire it. You got to pursue it like you have pursued other things in your life. Set aside what the world tells you every waking minute of your life. Hit the pause button to the world's informational channel. Don't pause and listen to the untruths and the hopelessness. Go and get the hope that you deserve, that you've been given. Just like you do the other things in your life. Work hard for it. Share with each other. Love hard for it. Seek it and desire it, and it shall be granted to you. In Luke 24:49, Jesus told the disciples they would be clothed with the power from on high. If this is so, then you already have what you need to sail your vessel of life around the rough points of your life. Even when the water is rough and the current takes you south, seek the Cape of Good Hope, which is truly found in Christ Jesus, and allow His presence in your life to change your course and rechart your direction easterly so that you can see the true rising sun. In the Bible, we are taught in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Friends, it has come time to change our focus and seek the real hope we desire and expect. It is time to go back to working on being biblically correct and working for Christ in all that we do and say. The beauty of serving the Lord is when you do all the things that I'm talking about, the blessings of that relationship with Jesus will shower you with unexpected gifts of grace and mercy and hope. Hope is one of the three theological virtues of Christianity. Hope sits equally alongside faith and love. In Romans 8, Paul argued that Christ was the source of hope for Christians. He said this, "For in this hope we have been saved." In the book of Matthew chapter 3, in Matthew chapter 4, we are taught that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Friends, so are you. So are you. You are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you are led by the Holy Spirit. Your baptism has immersed you in hope. Go live it. Go share it. Be a part of this ministry in this community. Focus your time, redirect your energies, and serve God as He has served you. One of my favorite high school teachers used to say, "Dream big or stay in the wings." Life storms are only temporary, guys. Sometimes they come with a destructive force and they leave damage and hurt in their wake. We've all experienced them. And they're real. But life should never be based on hurt. Life should be built on hope that comes from Christ Jesus. Let me close with this statement. As Christians, we are called to serve God. In our service, we are called to share His gospel. Today, when you leave those double doors, or perhaps the door behind me, to go and re-enter the world that faces you, leave here biblically correct and trust that in Christ all things are possible. And in Christ, regardless of your worries, in your hope, they too shall fall into place. Until then, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to laugh at the face of adversity and confusion when it comes your way. Live in the moments granted to you this very second and the second thereafter. Believe that God has you in the palm of His hand and that all things happen for a reason. Even though you do not understand them, God understands them. All things happen for a reason. In His time and in His will, you shall be informed. You will know. If you can do these things, you are living in the hope that God has granted you. If you can smile in the face of adversity, if you can live in the palm of His hand and share the gospel in the worst of times, you are living in hope in a God-centered kingdom right now, this day. Remember, life, your life, is built on hope. Much like the idea of our nation. And look how great and awesome a place we live is. An idea submitted to a handful of men in hope who trusted in God. Look where we are today. Life is built on hope. Seek the rising sun. Set your ships easterly on a course like the sailors did at the Cape of the Good Hope. You see, in the rising sun, every single day, in the rising sun, it reminds us that our Son, His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is hope. With the sun comes glory, comes light, comes grace and mercy. Redirect yourselves. Set a new course. And work, live, breathe, love, and spend your moments in hope. Amen.